Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtcast. Cole Petum here as always. And of course, we're here to talk all things Aston Villa Football Club with a rather, I guess you could say, negative or frustrating week to be a Villa fan. Of course, we didn't do anything right after the Olympiacos game on Thursday. You're hearing us shortly after, I guess you would say, the Villa v. Brighton and Spurs v. Liverpool matches. We figured we'd wait a little bit while after that to see a greater context, or I guess shout out to Mr. Seb, who I'll introduce in a minute, for suggesting that. Big brain coach Seb at his best again. But regardless, of course, we're going to go through all of the latest Villa stuff that's happened over the last week and try to make sense of it. And hopefully you guys do enjoy. And again, I say this all the time and I always forget to do this at the start, but if you're new or haven't subscribed, wherever you're listening to this, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, whatever, be sure to, of course, subscribe, leave a positive review and all that good stuff. But nonetheless, let's go to Coach Seb first. Seb, how's it going with you?
You're too kind, although I'm not a massive fan of the new nickname. But yeah, no, it's good to be back. It's good to be talking. It's been a while since we've been talking about Villa not picking up all 3 points or Villa not winning. So it's going to be a bit of a strange one, but nevertheless, always good to be back with you and Tom.
Fair enough. I'll make you a deal, Seb. If Villa get Champions League football, which I think at this point, I think we all think that's more than likely, even though they're limping across the finish line, I will have this hat and I will tape Coach Seb across it and I'll wear it and I will potentially release the video for that podcast.
Oh,
and
no.
it'll say like Seb's number one fan or something. Maybe that makes sense.
See, yeah, that I can get behind. Creepy.
Yeah,
that I can get behind. I like that one.
Okay, well, there we go. And then if we don't get it, Simon gets to stuff you in a bin. So that's what we'll make that agreement with our virtual handshake right now. But regardless of that, of course, we do have the returning Tom Nightingale as well. Tom, how's it going for you, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, not too bad. It's not been the week that anybody hoped for. There's no point sitting here and pretending that it's not disappointing. But yeah, I mean, if you want to frame things in the positive glass half full sense, then what's actually happened this weekend in the Premier League is that we've gained one goal's worth of goal difference on Spurs. So there's my positive outlook at the start. But I mean, yeah, I think we all hoped that, as we've seen a lot of times this season from Villa, like disappointing defeat against Olympiacos, we've made a really good habit of bouncing back from defeats. I think we all hoped that'd be the case today. But I mean, I don't know about you, I'm sure we'll get onto this, but like, I just can't get over how exhausted the team looks mentally and physically. Like, I think we're just like limping. I think you said limping over the finish line in every sense, really.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, now you look at it, of course, Emi Martinez couldn't have played the first leg of the semifinal against Olympiacos anyways. I mean, we get on to basically how much Robin Olsen has been left up to dry probably in the last week. Maybe that'll be a conversation. I know Tom wanted to bring that up. Now you look at Morgan Rodgers during the Brighton game going off rather early with what looks like a hamstring injury. I mean, Leon Bailey had his, I think it was his left leg, I think it was, strapped up for the first half, and he took that off for the second. Not going to be surprised at the end of the season when it comes out that he's had an injury and he's kind of been dealing with that. There's probably a few players at least. And I know a lot of fans of different football clubs or even Villa fans in general will say there's no excuses. But I mean, at this point in the season, as we've been hinting for months now, I mean, this literally is the excuse. I mean, Seb, people could say other reasons about maybe poor mentality, performance, but at the end of the day, it all goes down to injuries at this point in time. We probably have enough injuries that it feels like that we could field a pretty decent side, barring, of course, not having a complete XI. But at this point, just kind of waiting to see what happens and hoping for the best, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems that luck hasn't been on our side this year. With that regard, and The one thing I do really like about it is the fact that we haven't heard it once in the press from Emery or from anyone surrounding the club. They've been very key in maintaining a no excuses attitude, which ironically is the first thing that Steven Gerrard said when he came into the club. He said, I want to instill a no excuse attitude into the club. I want to give everyone the tools so that there can be no excuses. And that's what we're getting from Unai Emery. And I do like that. Obviously, it plays a factor. The players look knackered. I don't blame them. I feel knackered. So they must be absolutely blowing. But yeah, look, final end to the season now, that final push. And hopefully we can get across the line in one of the two senses.
Well, absolutely. And even I think there was a quote from, of course, Brighton coach Roberto De Zerbi after this one as well. And I think, Tom, this one probably says a lot, even about an opposition coach coming out and admitting this. To quote, he said, we played a great game against one of the best teams in the Premier League. We deserved to win and we could have scored more goals. To be honest, Villa weren't the Villa they usually are. I thought they were tired. They have a lot of injuries. I mean, it's one thing for Villa fans, or even I know Unai Emery wouldn't do this, to come out and admit that. Obviously he didn't, but when the opposition comes out and acknowledges that, like I even saw another quote where he literally said, this isn't the same Villa we played at the start of the season, or in the earlier half, we should say. It's just truly telling, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, it's like, I feel like we talk about it every podcast now for some here. Like we're always always talking about injuries and tiredness, but like you do have to, like you have to contextualize it. Like it is nuts what this Villa team has done this year. And so to see them running on empty now is, you know, it's difficult, but it's not a surprise at all. And I mean, I agree with Seb completely, and like both of you about the no excuses thing. It's nice to hear an opposition coach say it, because shows that at least somebody is fucking paying attention outside of B6. But you know, for Emery, I think basically the gist of his comments were, we lost the game and we deserve to lose the game, which I thought we did, really. You know, I thought, you know, there's no creativity, was there? I didn't get Watkins into the game at all. It's tough. Like, we're in a tough spot, but these are our tough spots now. And I think the thing is that, like, we all want to win that trophy, right? That's the difficult thing. Like, that's way, way, way more disappointing than losing at Brighton today, is that Olympiacos first leg. It's not necessarily done, but we've definitely put ourselves in a difficult position. I think you've just got to keep the faith, really, and have faith in Emery and his staff and the players finding a way to summon up from fucking somewhere a reserve of energy. Because at the moment, like, we're running dry, aren't we?
Absolutely. Sorry, I just completely lost focus because I was watching Seb play with a empty bottle against his face for like 15 seconds. And this is the quality that you don't see behind the scenes on the Holdcast. But regardless of that, that was entertaining to say the least. Tom, I'll pass this one right back to you. I mean, Robin Olsen, he's had a very tough week. And between talking with fellow Villa fans like yourselves or in other group chats or even online, there's definitely been a wide, I guess, stance on the Swedish goalkeeper this week. And I mean, there has been all season. I mean, you have to give him his credit this week in particular. It's very tough to come in and back up Emi Martinez for one, but to have to be thrown into two games, this one in particular, not really exactly being sure if you will start, if Emi can make it back in time recovery-wise. I mean, he made some crucial saves against Brighton. In my opinion, he was massively left out to dry against Olympiacos in the first leg. I know a lot of people say the deflected goal could have been better, but let's be honest, if most of us were in the goal in that situation, it was going in as well. People can argue all day with that, but a tough week. But again, he made some massive saves, and in my opinion, he was just let down.
Yeah, I mean, I've sort of been banging this drum for a while now. Like, I do not think that Villa have a Robin Olsen problem. I think that Villa have an Emi Martinez problem. Like, when you have the best goalkeeper in the world as your number one, you can't be expressing surprise or disappointment that there's a drop-off between him and the backup. Robin Olsen is a very good quality Premier League backup goalkeeper. Do I want to see him in goal for Villa? No, I don't. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think anybody does. I think if Robin Olsen is a team first guy, I don't think Robin Olsen wants to see Robin Olsen in goal for Aston Villa, because it's just not the same, is it? Like, he's not as good a shot stopper, and he doesn't have, the defense don't have the same confidence with him in goal. But I mean, having said that, the way that he is spoken about by some fans, like, baffled me and kind of infuriates me a little bit, really. Like, a big thing that sums up how much he's become a bit of a scapegoat is I've genuinely seen fans since full time of the Brighton game lambasting him for not saving the penalty rebound. And it's like, I think everyone just needs to take a bit of a step back here, get a bit of sleep, get some perspective and come back. Robin Olsen today, by my count, saved, I think, 2 or 3, not certain goals, but very likely goals, right? 2 massive one-on-one stops, really brave at the feet of Simon Adingra when he got that blow to the chest or whatever. Saved the penalty. Like, what more do you want from the guy when he's a backup who's been thrown in? Nobody wants to see him in the team. That's just the truth. So it's, you know, it's a difficult one. It's just indicative, isn't it, of like where we're at with injuries. Comes back to it again. Like, nobody really wants to see him playing. That's brutal. Nobody wants to see Callum fucking Chambers coming on in the 90th minute as centre back. Nobody wants to see Matty Cash playing, what, 65 minutes of a game at right wing because there's nobody else to bring on. It's just the reality we're in at the moment. And I think, like, Robin Olsen for me was like, I know we don't really do match balls anymore, but if we still did man of the matches on this podcast, he's getting it for me. Admittedly, that does say a bit about the quality of some of the other players wearing a Villa shirt on the pitch today. But I think Robin Olsen's done really well. I thought he did pretty well in the Man City game when we got battered because we didn't have, well, not just because, but we didn't have Ollie Watkins up front. And we didn't have Emi Martinez in goal. Like, that is a heavy defeat if ever there is one. I thought he played pretty well then. Olympiacos, the whole night did not go the way that we wanted it to go. But I think to be pointing fingers at Olsen for the fact that we've lost that game is wide of the mark. And then, to be honest, he kept the score down at the Amex.
Well, that's just the thing, too. Like, the fact that Villa put that game back to 2-2 and then let it slip away, albeit, I mean, there's the handball and then the unfortunate deflection. Those are just kind of an is what it is thing. But I mean, I said this pre-recording and I'll say it again now, and you are right, Tom. I mean, you look at Ederson at City, and Ortega plays very similar in terms of ball defeat and that movement. Robin Olsen was signed, I mean, Emi Martinez was signed obviously before Unai Emery came in as well. But when, I guarantee this happened when they looked at contracts and who they probably wanted to move on even last summer. Let's be completely honest. I'm not calling Robin Olsen a terrible goalkeeper, but they probably looked at that. And typically goalkeepers are harder to shift, especially if they're not on a free or even at his age at 34, they probably knew they're stuck with him realistically until his contract expires, I think in this summer, if I'm thinking correctly. So it is what it is. And you're not going to change a 34-year-old goalkeeper and force him to become, like I said, pre-recording, a Messi with a ball at his feet and moving around like Emi can at times. And let's be honest, Emi has messed up with a ball at his feet. Every goalkeeper does. It's risky when you're playing that way. But again, he's made massive saves over this last week. But what were you going to come in with?
So the point about his contract, yeah, like, I'm pretty sure you're right. His contract expires this summer, I think. And like, for all my, you know, defending of him and saying he's a solid backup goalkeeper and he's played his part, I'll be brutally honest right now, I hope that we've just seen Robin Olsen's last game for Villa. You know, I imagine that there's no real intent to offer him a new deal, because I don't really see why there would be, now that theoretically we have signed a talented goalkeeper who's more in like the Martinez mold in terms of playing with his ball, the ball at his feet and stuff. But like, you know, if that was Robin Olsen's last game for Villa, I say fair play to the guy.
Yeah, no, like, exactly. And it's not a, we don't want you to play for us anymore kind of mentality that you're coming with. I get it. You want Emi back in goal. That is exactly what we all want. And there's no, I guess, shame in really saying that. And there's no menace behind it either. Seb's bringing up, of course, Sinisalo as well, coming back from Exeter in our little group chat we have going on when we're recording. I think he had something like 10 or 11 clean sheets with Exeter, maybe even more. I mean, you would imagine his next step up will be the Championship. We do have actually a good chain of goalies. I mean, we don't know what Joe Gauchy is. He'll kind of be Sorry, I've said that three times today, and I just feel like I have to say it like that every single time. I don't know if that was a good Australian accent, but regardless, we really don't know what he's made of, what his future prospects are. Maybe he goes out on loan. Maybe another proper number two comes in with a little bit more experience. We'll have to wait and see, but we do have a nice little kind of factory churning of goalkeepers, and that's never a bad thing because we've had some utter crap in the past, and we don't need to bring those up and feel even more frustrated than we probably have been over the last week. But regardless of that, to get to the Brighton game in particular, of course, we did lose 1-0 to Brighton. A penalty that, in my opinion, I mean, this is with Clarendon blue tinted glasses on, guys, but it wasn't a penalty. And Seb, I'll come to you. This is an old man gripe to say, like, oh, what is and what isn't a penalty kind of thing these days. But I mean, if you're going to call that a penalty, then what was the foul in the box on Morgan Rogers earlier in this game then?
Yeah, it's really soft. I think it finds itself creeping into the realm of that gray area where if the referee gives it, then VAR can't overturn it because it's not clear and obvious. If the referee doesn't give it, then obviously they still can't overturn it. I think that was the same for both. I think had he given the Rogers one, I don't think VAR would have ruled against it, and or had he not given the Brighton one, again, I don't think it would have been overturned. So it's just how he's seen it, which unfortunately falls against us. On the basis of play, it was probably deserved that we lost the game. In all seriousness, you know, they did a job on us today. You know, they turned up, they were better in every area, and you know they got what they deserved. Going back to your original point, I think it was a penalty, but I think it was such a soft penalty. The referee was right to give it, but had he not given it, I don't think VAR would have overturned it, which is the frustrating thing, is that it is so soft that there's nothing you can do about it. I'm going around in roundabouts here, but it is really annoying. But at the end of the day, I don't think we can have too much complaint.
You're
I'll
right.
come in on this one because I'm watching your face and your expression changed about five times.
No,
So.
I agree, man. Really. Do you know why my face keeps changing? It's because I'm remembering that I think Seb's right about the penalty. Like, nobody bats an eyelid if it's not given, right? It's so soft. But at least it wasn't as fucking egregious as the referee not giving that foul on Leon Bailey. I still can't get over that. I know it's inconsequential, right? It's probably not going to change the result of the game or whatever, but like, my God, I don't see how anyone can argue against the idea that the standard of refereeing in the Premier League has declined since the introduction of VAR. Like, how the fuck is the linesman not calling that? He's tripped him. He's fouled him twice, actually, but he's tripped him up. Like, that's just every week we have to have these kind of conversations. It's bloody irritating. I don't think that Villa got. I agree with Seb. Like, I don't think that Villa got like shafted today. Do you know what I mean? I don't think that we were like cheated out of a point or anything like that. But it's those marginal calls and it's the lack of consistency. Like, if Brighton's one is a penalty, the one on Morgan Rogers is a penalty. Who's to say we score it if we get it? But you know, it's marginal things. And the problem is when you put in a performance like Villa did today, where your best chance of scoring is when your striker chooses not to shoot. That's like literally the best chance we had today was when Ollie Watkins was suddenly kind of through on goal, albeit like at an angle, and he tries to like cut inside. I think he's in two minds because he's got a couple of supporting players up. You hit that low across the goalkeeper, you probably get a minimum of a corner. But it's easy for me to say from my sofa, isn't it? But like the problem, that's the bigger problem today, really, is that it's pretty much our best opening in 90 minutes. What was our XG today? Like 0.06. You know, you can't argue against losing a game, can you, in that situation?
Do you reckon Bailey needs to change the colour of his boots? Because that's twice in a week now. He's had the blatant penalty shout against Olympiacos, which they just haven't seen a complete tangle of legs where he's been tripped up from about calf height. And then again today, where he's not only trodden on the back of his ankle, but then done it again in the same motion. And the referee and linesman have both gone, oh, have you fallen over again? So it almost seemed to me today, like when you see an elderly person fall over, and it's probably about the fifth time this week, and it's like, oh, have you fallen over again?
You're right, Bailey. You're right, Leon. You need to get to bed, mate. Yeah.
Can I put a bid forward to say that Leon Bailey gets the Jack Grealish treatment at Villanelle? Is that too outlandish to say? Because it is genuinely, like, crazy. The man is literally, like, the Jamaican sensation, I should call him, is literally screaming in pain every time he gets fouled now, because you can tell he's hurt already and he's playing through the pain. And then you literally might as well, like, Batista bomb the guy, if you know what that is, if you ever watched WWE wrestling. I swear to God, they still wouldn't give it to him.
I don't think it's a conscious decision from officials not to give free kicks against him. What I do think does creep in is that Bailey this season has been one of those players who is so, like, fleet of foot and so quick with his footwork that referees and officials seem to get sucked into this thing where, like,
you're too quick, you're too good.
You're too quick. So, like, you're not actually being fouled, you're being, like, knocked off balance or something, and then it doesn't quite equate to a foul, which A is bullshit. Like, if you're really fleet of foot and you're really quick and you're knocked off balance, you've been fouled, I would say. When you've definitely been fouled is when you've been fucking kicked in the foot. Like, it's I don't know what it is, but it is irritating. I'm sweary today, aren't I? Maybe I'm more annoyed than I think I am.
The explicit content logo is going on this one.
Yeah. Well, but, to quote Seb from before we started recording, I'm tired.
I mean, look, I spend my whole life complaining at referees, and it has
and getting sent off.
it's quite nice to come onto the podcast and know that I can say what I like and it not have an impact on my bank balance at the end of the month. That being said, it just shows the sheer incompetence. So we had a foreign ref, was arguably probably the worst of the season.
Don't even get me started.
Now the Premier League refs are up to their same old trick, and it just, I mean, we talk about it every single week, so this isn't going to be new to anyone that's listening, but it is just the lack of consistency. One week we will have a ref that will give absolutely everything, and then the next week he will give absolutely nothing for the exact same things, and that's what needs to change. If they were all bad but they were all consistent in the way in which they were bad, I don't think we'd have as much gripe about it.
Because then you can, like, recalibrate. Do you know what I mean? If everyone's bad in the same way.
And you can also, you can learn to understand what they deem to be acceptable and not acceptable.
Exactly.
It's a fact that one referee will deem, you know, someone coughing too loud next to them as not acceptable. Whereas the next referee, like we said on Leon Bailey, you will be able to just shut. Brighton player could have come and Bailey would be walking off the team coach, and he could have pushed him down the stairs and the referee would have gone play on today. That's what I find frustrating about it.
Yeah, I mean, is it too outlandish to say that the next time Leon Bailey gets clattered, because he will before the season ends, even though it could just potentially be three games, including obviously two in the Premier League, one more against Olympiacos, the next time that happens, that the Villa admin just goes full Forest and puts out, like, an outlandish tweet or something like that to say? Or do we hire Mark Clattenburg to figure out what officiating is and understand officiating better? I don't know.
If that really worked for Forest, I think that would be a really good idea.
Wow. They are geniuses in the field of football these days. But regardless of that, there was an interesting stat. Of course, our very own Tom Nightingale here did bring it up, and I did just tweet it out a little while ago. It was in regards to John McGinn. But I did find another kind of interesting stat before I get to that. They'll lead to each other, so don't worry. This was our 53rd match of this, what I like to call, injury hit season. Mental. I mean, I know other teams could say that as well, but technically, probably barring, I guess maybe you would look at, like, the likes of City or whoever made it to maybe a domestic cup final, that would arguably have maybe a few more, if not around the same at this point. I mean, again, then you look at their squad and say their squads are bigger, so maybe that's not a great excuse, but that is mental. And then you add in, of course, Tom's little stat attack that he brought out that I I still can't believe, and it actually makes me feel stunned that this man actually is this durable. So between Villa and Scotland, John McGinn has played 58 games in six, or sorry, not six, 267 days since this Premier League campaign began, which equates to 4 point, or a game every 4.5 days across 9 months straight. I probably butchered that a little bit, but you know what I mean. I mean, Tom, Mr. Villa Statman, I'm going to start calling you on this podcast. Crazy.
That's a worse nickname than Seb's. Please don't do that. But yeah,
I'll put your
McGinn.
name across my hat too.
McGinn, I just picked McGinn. I was just interested because I'd seen a lot of stuff, like Moussa Diaby hit 50 games for Villa, like on Thursday against Olympiacos when he arrived in August. It's like mind bending. And I thought, he's not even really been in the picture at international level that much. So like if you take a regular international starter and do it, and McGinn just popped to mind because he's obviously plays every game he's fit for and available for Scotland. It's just, I won't not going to get into the general issue of it because I think it's a football problem. Like, how on earth the football calendar is allowed to do this is beyond me, to be honest. No wonder everyone's popping their hamstring. It's ridiculous. Which, by the way, I said I'm not going to get into it. It's only going to get worse. Like I still think we're going to qualify for the Champions League. I really do. Like Spurs do not have the stones to catch us. So assuming that we do qualify for the Champions League, we've got to play in this godforsaken new format. That like okay, the format itself, I'm not really interested on whether the format itself with the expanded the big mega league format group stage, it could be interesting or whatever. But it's just that you're basically playing two leagues at once then, aren't you? Like, okay, you can argue that you played group games every 2 or 3 weeks, I think, for like 3 months during the group stage. I'm not sure exactly how it breaks down, but it's just more all the time in football now. It's more games, more pressure on players, more. It's all about the money, obviously. And I think a big problem with Villa is that, you're talking about Liverpool and Man City and people like that. They've got bigger squads. They're also used to it, as a club, which I think is a big thing for us. Like, sure, we've got players in our squad, Pau Torres, numerous ones. Not that many, but like Pau Torres, Diego Carlos, I think. I guess Leon Bailey, maybe Moussa Diaby, who are used to being in Europe at least. For the autumn, at least for the first half of the year, so they used to that two games a week kind of thing. We don't have many other players in our entire squad who have experienced that at all in their career, let alone on any kind of regular or recent basis. Okay, Unai Emery is clearly an expert at it. Fair play to him. Unbelievable skill set to be able to navigate 2 games a week the way that Unai Emery does and has done for years. But as a team and as a club and as a culture, this is new for us. And I that's been a big factor, I think, this year. This isn't necessarily meant as a criticism of Villa, but like, I don't think Villa have played well in Europe since, I don't know what you guys think. I suppose there's an argument for the Lille first leg where we
Probably since
ruined it.
Ajax, to be honest, the second leg against
I'm
Ajax.
kind of the same opinion. Like, I didn't even think the first leg against Lille we were that good. We got the 2-goal lead, which was nice or whatever, and then they got that goal at the end that nearly cost us at the end of the first leg. But like, we were bad on Thursday. We were bad in Lille. We were all right at Villa Park against Lille. Like, we haven't actually played well in Europe now for weeks and weeks. And I think it's just that lack of nous and that lack of experience catching up with us. And so that's, you talk about the Man Cities and the Liverpools and that difference. That is it, I think, for me. Throw in the fact that you've got players like John McGinn who play every game when they're fit and available. They play every game for their country when they're fit and they're available. Like, we need to look into John McGinn's genetics, to be honest. We've said this before. I think it must be all in the arse. I don't know how he does it, but it's no wonder that to borrow Seb's phrase, we're blowing because. We've played more football than pretty much any player in our squad has ever played before in one season.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you're asking, well, now kids on the bench, if they do play any part in the next three games at this point, depending on the status of Morgan Rogers' injury. I mean, hopefully Emmy's back in the second leg, because holy Christ, we're going to need him, to be honest, and to pull off some massive kind of momentum swing with his kind of play style and his saves. But you're asking a lot of players that haven't been in this stage of the season to perform, I don't know, a miracle, I guess you would say, in Europe now. That's the way at least it probably feels to some. I mean, it could switch very, very fast. I mean, by the time we were tied at two, I thought, okay, this is where Billa take over. And then, of course, it went basically back to the way it went in the first half with those two quick goals. But it's frustrating. And again, I don't want to sit this all on the injury front, because I think it is the biggest kind of culprit of what we're experiencing now. But again, like, you look at today, we're playing, I mean, I do have some love for Matty Cash, but we're playing Matty Cash at like right wing or whatever it was. Matty Cash is the right back. I know when he was like 18 or something, he played wing, but I mean, like, come on, it is not the same. And yeah, you're bringing on the likes of Jean Durand, or aka Captain Chaos, but I mean, when you're chasing a game, you've had what, one shot on target all game? I think, Tom, you said it was like 0.06 expected goals. I mean, it's clutching at straws, and I know we could say, well, that's why you tweak things tactically, but all these players have bought into the system. But to me, Seb, and I mean, let me know what you think, I think it's just, you're going from one level of quality to another, and then obviously the pecking order keeps going down. You look at all the games. I mean, I don't agree with it. And to be completely honest, I feel like the more games that they keep throwing in, I just think it makes a season more boring. You're just seeing the same product at the same time. Like, let's be honest, if you watch MLB baseball, they play like, I think like 160 games or something in a season. I'm sorry, but who the hell is watching 160 games of one team? It's just, you can look at the NHL too with 82 games. Like, I can't watch every game. It's, I don't know, it just spoils the product for me. But Seb, dive in here. If you want to even talk about that, if you want to talk about your outlandish roommates saying outlandish things about Villa again, you can do that as well.
I'm not even going to bring that up, because I think you guys are annoyed as it is. I don't want to further that anger, or that feeling. I agree, without sounding too much like Jurgen Klopp, it is too much. And, you know, the players do need protecting, but the problem is it's a problem not only with the Premier League, which I think is where Klopp goes wrong. It's a problem with the whole of the football pyramid. National League clubs have to do it. They have to travel here, there and everywhere. I'm going to use my club an example. We've just gone through a stage of playing six games in 10 days. And these are players who also have full-time jobs. So they're having to get home from work, travel 3.5 hours to a match, you know, some of them being stuck in traffic and get into the match, putting their kit on and then standing on the pitch and we're kicking off. So it is a problem. And going back to Villa, it's something that needs to be addressed. Whether that will be addressed, I don't think so. I think it's only going one way, and I don't know whether we're going to be happy about it. But there has to be ways that don't ruin the entertainment package of football to also make it a safer environment for the players. I don't agree with the FA Cup replays being scrapped. So I'm contradicting myself there, because I'm almost asking for more games in keeping it cup replays, but they actively benefit the football pyramid. If a club like Liverpool or Man United can't beat Tranmere Rovers over 90 minutes, then yeah, play another game. Those big clubs should learn to manage their squads better. Whereas a competition like Villa and Europe, I honestly think had we not had the injury luck that we have done, we wouldn't be sat here complaining about it. Because we have got a big enough squad. It's just the fact that it has been absolutely decimated this season, for want of a better word. And whether that is because the fixtures, whether that is just purely down to bad luck, I suppose we'll see more next year and we'll be able to get a better gauge of whether this is going to be a reoccurring theme and look, we have to deal with this and we have to make our squad even bigger than it already is. Or next year we might have a full squad and we'll be able to go, we'll be sat there in the Champions League, go, fucking hell, isn't this lovely? Who's going to start this week? You know, we'll be able to rotate every weekend, and we'll be able to manage the fixture list and hopefully go far in the domestic cups as well. But it is getting to a point where it is too much. But there has to be a way to deal with it without ruining the entertainment side of the game.
I think it's a good point about, and I think you're totally right that, like, if Villa hadn't have had quite bad injury luck, you're right, I don't think we'd be having this conversation, right? Because, like, as much as the schedule is too packed and everything, like, every football fan of every like diehard fan of a certain team is the same. Like, it's kind of an issue that's at arm's length until it happens to you and your team. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's just the nature of football fandom. And, like, we've just been so staggeringly unlucky. Like, I can't get over the fact that we've got a bunch of players you could feasibly call a number 10 in our squad. They're all injured. Like, Emi Buendia, like, Jacob Ramsey, if you play him centre, Morgan Rogers has got that profile in him. Even Yuri Tielemans, if you push him up, has got that in him.
Zaniolo.
Like, they're all injured. And so it's like, that, to go back to the previous thing about, like, maybe managers have to be more tactically flexible and that sort of stuff. Like, get to a certain point, it's like, what, you know, bringing Matty Cash on at right wing, having to dig into the Callum Chambers vault, you know, blow the dust on the cobwebs off that one and bring him on for the last couple of minutes. Like, what else can you do? We've had to change
We're not far away from seeing Courtney House make an appearance.
It's ridiculous. It's like the Villa Resurrection Tour.
Can he even make an appearance, actually? Because is he not registered?
I'm not sure he technically can. Let's pray we don't have to find out. We don't have to read the small print.
Just put him in the Holt for the vibes for the last game.
I know it's difficult. But what more can you do with the tactical flexibility side of things? Like, the Boubacar Kamara injury, while at first, you know, we sort of papered over the impact of that by pulling out some big wins without him. But the Boubacar Kamara injury has completely changed the way that we play. Because having Kamara in the team, Luiz, McGinn, Tielemans, everyone has so much more freedom to do what they like in midfield on the ball or to find those pockets of space, like all that sort of stuff. We haven't had that luxury for months. So somebody else has got to be that guy, right? And then you limit everything. You're changing your whole shape. You're changing what you do with and without the ball. And Emery has had to make adjustment after adjustment. And okay, it's the manager's life. But at some point you have to say, like, fuck me, we're unlucky here. Morgan Rogers going down on Brighton is just the, you know. And then when Robin Olsen went down, when he hit to the chest, I genuinely laughed out loud when I thought he was injured. Not because, you know, he had a great game, nothing to do with that. But just like, how much worse can your luck get, you know?
Well, that's the thing. Like, if we had a relatively fit squad and the injuries that we've had throughout the whole season didn't happen, and then we're still kind of in this tough week, you would probably say, okay, like, you have none. But, like, again, I think we've proven the point. And I mean, Seb, you were very correct on the whole replay thing. It's kind of rich how, and I don't want to turn this into conversation, but just quickly to say, They've gotten rid of the replay, but then they've added two more games for the Champions League teams. So that's just added their revenue. We're basically joining the Super League next season. So that's
And there's
interesting.
talks about the final Premier League game being played in the USA. It's
They
Oh,
just
that's
yeah, that's happening sooner, whether it's next year or not, that's happening.
they just need to rework the whole football schedule, like across Europe, the way it is, because there's no way that, I mean, you look at obviously France with Lille, that they had a week's rest between both legs, and then now you look at Olympiacos in Greece with the same thing. Like, I know this isn't the glamour of the Premier League in those countries, but like you're and again, I know some people say, oh, these footballers are millionaires, yada 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 yada. I don't know what the fuck I'm trying to say there, but anyways, I'm getting so mad. It's just, it's not manageable. You're literally killing their careers. Like, these are players that some, honestly, I feel like potential players growing up now are going to be even shorter, even with the technology and how the fitness culture is now, and it's probably never better than it was in the past, or ever better. You know what I mean? I'm getting frazzled, but it's just, it's not sustainable. But anyways, let's move on to the Twitter polls, and let's save me some humility there. I think I made somewhat of a valid point, if you could understand whatever the hell I just said there. Regardless of that, of course, you can engage with us at HoltCastPod over on X slash Twitter. Of course, post-match, we asked every Sunday for you to answer three questions via our lovely polls. And as always, the numbers continue to grow on those, so we do appreciate that. So let's get to the first one first. So the first one was, after today's loss, how confident are you that Aston Villa will finish fourth? Of course, there was four options to choose from: very confident, confident, not confident, and of course, just to give someone like Seb and the ability to sit on the fence, I put somewhere in the middle. So of course, with 41.4%, very confident did win. Second place was confident. Third place was somewhere in the middle, and 9.8% of people were not confident. Tom, where do you sit on this scale?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very confident. Like, I don't like saying it in quite so certain terms after we've just lost disappointingly. But like, I thought it was done last weekend, to be honest, and I still do because okay, we lost here, but like, Spurs lost a goal on goal difference. I said already, but like, more to the point, their window to overtake us has shrunk by a game. Like, don't they still need 7 points plus a goal swing to
They can't
overtake?
lose a game.
They can't lose a game. They need 7 points. So like they're gonna have to pull a result out against City, even if they go off against the two relegated teams and they put a bunch of goals in. Like they need that City result. And that's assuming that we don't get another point, which okay, like they're not easy games, obviously, Liverpool Palace, you know, but I don't think we're in a reactionary state where we need to suggest that Villa are more likely than not to get 0 points, you know, from their last two. I don't think it's academic. I don't think Spurs have the stones, to be honest. So.
Well, that's the thing, because I'm just looking at the relegation battle. I mean, Burnley need to literally win their last two to have any hope, and basically Forest can't pick up a point unless their goal difference swings, or unless Forest get another points deduction magically. I mean, who would put it past this league to do that? But I mean, that's not going to be an easy game. I'm very confident at this point, but Seb, where do you sit?
Yeah, I'm gonna break the mold. I'm gonna break the stereotype, and I will agree with Tom in that I am very confident.
Okay, I was gonna say, I swear to God, if you said you're gonna sit on the fence after all that, I was going to question your judgment. Not like I have not done that in the past, but regardless. Second question was, will Aston Villa turn things around against Olympiacos on Thursday? Of course, simple yes or no here. No one with 58.1%, and the losing portion of 41.9, sorry, said yes. I'm going to be stupidly optimistic and just say yes, because I mean, why the hell not at this point? Tom, how about you?
I realize I go off on long answers for these. So if you want a simple one, like I'm gonna have to say no. I don't think it's impossible. We're having this conversation beforehand. I think if Villa score early, Villa score first and score early, anything can happen. But I don't know. I think we've left ourselves with a lot to do.
I love how you say, if you want a quick answer, and then you keep talking, but
Well, I give you the
regardless of
quick
that.
answer, and then you got to show your work in, don't you? Do you know what I mean?
You are a journalist, if there ever was one. Seb. are you sitting on this one?
I'm going to go for yes. I don't know why I've come to that conclusion after our last few performances and results, but I really think it's possible. I was having a look at Olympiakos' record at home, and they conceded, I mean, obviously this is in the group stages, but they conceded 6 to, is it Maccabi? Something like that. And then they also conceded 4 at home as well in this Conference League campaign. So, you know, it's not the fortress that everyone thinks it is. If we can, like Tom said, if we can get an early goal, then anything's possible. My mind goes back to Sheffield Wednesday in the playoffs last season, where they were 4-0 down in the first leg, and then they managed to turn it around, albeit it was at home. But their manager, was it Darren Moore, came out at the end and said, look, we strategized a plan. We planned to score in the 20th minute, the 40th minute, the 60th minute, and the 80th minute. And then we realised that that would be... So if we do the maths on that, if we score in the first half, then, you know, we've got the whole 45 minutes to find another. But, yeah, I've taken the Tom role in that I'm going on a long-winded answer. But I feel like to say yes to this question, you have to explain why. So, yeah, I don't see there any reason why not.
Well, if Barry Bannon can do it in League One, I mean, shout out to Barry Bannon for helping relegate Blues, by the way. that had to be thrown in at some point. And that awesome tweet he put out as well. Yeah, I can't get the whole thing of their owner saying, Birmingham on the rise. It's just stuck in my head. Anyways, enough of that. And on to the most serious question of them all, which is the best British band. Again, I only could put 4 things, guys, so you don't have to message in saying, you forgot this one, you forgot that one. So I just did my best. Of course, the options were the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, Oasis, and Queen. I try to go for a little bit of variety as much as that can, or just looking at the top of a list. Of course, the Beatles won with 33.5%. Second was Queen with 31.7. Oasis got third with 26.1, and the Rolling Stones only got a measly 8.7. Tom, you are the, I think, the oldest one on this podcast. So where do you sit?
Ouch. I can't believe so that's low for the Rolling Stones. I think that's a bit of maybe they're just, they've been around for so long that people are bored of them, maybe. I went for the Beatles. I mean, like, it's not exactly an interesting answer, is it? But you can pretty much trace all white rock and pop music back to the Beatles. So, you know, anyone who voted for Oasis over the Beatles, that's I think that's impressive, because that's a derivative band if ever I saw one, but that's for another podcast. yeah, the Beatles for me.
Fair enough. Well, Darren Cave tweeted and said Beatles were very overrated, and that we should have added the Stone Roses. Pagey hashtag ABFC said the same thing. Again, I can only pick 4. And like Tom said, literally every band in, well, basically the world that was in rock at the time following them basically took some part of the Beatles. Like, again, it's like anything. You take little facets from, I guess you could say, an originator, and it builds on. So I guess say what you will. But anyways, Seb, any of these you want to vote for, or are you going to go for something mental that you hipster kids these days just go on about?
It's a shame that Simon's not here, because I feel like out of the 4 of us on the podcast, he's the music connoisseur. He seems to be at a gig.
He's on a date tonight, I think. So
every other day. Ah, there you go. Well, good luck, Simon. I hope it goes very well. This has suddenly turned really awkward. going back to the music question, I think I'm at a slight disadvantage here because of my age. So I was not to see these bands in their prime. So the only way that I am basing this vote, and I don't think it's going to be a very popular one, is who I have listened to the most, and also who I have been lucky enough to see live. And I have been lucky enough to see one of the 2 Oasis live. So I'm going to have to give them my vote, unfortunately.
Who'd you see, Liam or Noel?
I saw Liam, and it was at Boardmasters last summer, and it was very, very good.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah, I mean, I've heard that their whole thing when they're Oasis and in their constituent part since is very good live, so fair enough.
Fair.
And he sang majority of Oasis songs as well, so yeah, it was a very good night.
I mean, yeah, that definitely helps, doesn't it?
Can I ask one thing? Yes. I don't understand the Oasis haircuts. Is that controversial to say? Because I still see some people rocking them even now. And again, if that's your choice, fair enough. But I don't get it.
Just of a time, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like everybody, I have a theory that everybody thinks that stuff when they were like kids or a certain age is the best version of said stuff.
True.
So I think it's a bit of that. Like I feel like I'm coming across as very strongly anti-Oasis. I'm not at all. I just don't. If there's one inclusion on that list I'd like to contend, it's Queen, who have just never done it for me at all. How many people, what proportion of the vote did Queen get?
They got, let's see here. They were in second with 31.7. They were very close to actually winning it.
I mean, sure, we'll move on.
I think the movie that came out about Queen not too like a few years back probably helps. Like a lot of those now probably have like recaptured a new generation, and that's obviously the whole point because now it sells even more. But yeah, no, it's I mean, again, you could have thrown in like so many different bands, and again, I apologize, but we can only pick four. But anyways, enough of rock talk. This isn't that kind of podcast. I think we will do one more thing, and we'll go over to that now.
So, you know, hence me getting a yellow card for saying I think you've had juggling balls for Christmas.
And welcome back to Dean Smith's Juggling Six. I feel like this is a very long podcast, so if you're still listening at this point, we do appreciate it. I don't have the timer on, so I have no freaking clue how long we've been chatting, but I did probably the most work and prep I've ever done for one of these Dean Smith's Juggling Six. I have a notepad here, and I wrote down every single team in the Premier League. And the one thing I want to know from these guys is, who have Villa scored the most against in terms of teams this Premier League season? And I want six of them. Currently, and keep in mind, some are on the same figure, so they do count as well. There are one, two, three, yeah, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight teams that are technically in around each other, but I need to know six of them.
Can I ask a
So,
question?
yes.
Have you got all your facts right? Because the last time I was on, you didn't get them right, and it really
Yes, I'm
is
correct with
unreal.
Everton, and yes, that was the first thing I checked because I knew you were coming on, and I knew you were
Okay.
going to say that, you little shit. But
Second of
regardless,
all, is it Premier League or is it all competitions?
lovely question, Seb. I tell you, don't listen to me ever. I said Premier League when I was reading out the question.
Right, okay.
So
Thank you.
brilliant.
Just
That theme
would like to
continues.
clarify.
I'm literally going to give you guys two opportunities to get it wrong. I feel like that's still massively very complimentary,
I
but I
have
feel
faith in my
giving.
teammate.
Okay,
I
well, kick it off.
have. Okay, how do you want to do this, Tom? Do you want to do this strategically or should we just fire them out?
Well, I've got this thing that I often get on this part of this podcast where my mind goes blank as soon as Cole says the question, so I can barely remember who we've played this year.
Okay, well, I tell you what, I'll start things off. Surely the easiest one will be Sheffield United.
Sheffield United is correct. We've scored six goals against them this season. And this is so far, of course. Like, we still have to play Liverpool and Palace.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So
That'll.
six is definitely a threshold. You said because you said Sheffield United have scored six against and they're in the list. And you said they're all there and thereabouts. So despite today, Brighton.
Brighton are. Yep, we've scored six against them as well.
Okay,
Good
so
math there. We won 6-1 and didn't
we've
score again
scored
today.
yeah.
We've scored five against Burnley. Now, is six the
Burnley.
cutoff or is Burnley because we've also scored five against
Are you going with Burnley? Is that one of them?
no, that's
Okay,
not a, I'm not
fair.
locking it in yet. There
That's
was
fair.
another team that we've scored five
Scored five
against,
against Bournemouth, didn't we?
Brentford and Brentford.
Oh,
No,
right.
we scored five again. Yes, we had and Bournemouth.
Right, because we drew two each away, didn't we?
Okay, so do we risk it and s okay, well, we can say one of those, and if we get it wrong, then we
Yeah, let's
know
do
that.
that.
Okay, so we'll go Bournemouth.
Bournemouth. Let's see here. We scored five against them, of course. Correct.
So we'd also like to lock in Brentford, and we'd also like to lock in what was the other one? Sorry, Tom. Turns out I don't listen to you or Cole.
Wait, who did you lock in? Bournemouth. I don't listen to you or Cole either.
Yeah, Bournemouth.
You
So
locked
I've
in
also locked in
Bournemouth.
Brentford. So there was another one. No,
Sheffield United.
there's another one that was
You guys
fucking
chose
hell, Tom. I'm trying
Oh,
to
there's another
think
one that
out
we've
here. There's another
Oh
one
my
that we scored five
goodness.
against. We just said it.
Okay, here I'll jump in here. Okay. So you've got Sheffield United correct. You got Brentford correct. Of course, they scored five against them. Brighton's correct. We got six. Bournemouth is correct. We got five. So there's four out of the six I need.
There's another one on five, and we mentioned it literally less than 2 minutes ago.
I can't remember.
I'm not at liberty to tell you that.
Oh, my goodness.
Just let it go. You still have two lives. You literally need to get two right.
Oh, sorry, Burnley.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, so oh, there it six is. Six against Burnley. So you need one okay. more.
Okay. So we scored three against Everton. I reckon three will be too low. So
oh,
I...
what was the score? What did we beat Luton by at home? Because we scored three away, didn't we? Because Luka Dean scored the last minute scored. Header.
Did we win 3-1? I think we won 3-1.
Yeah, well, five's enough, isn't it? So even if it was only two.
Yeah. Luton. So we'll lock in Luton, please.
Luton is correct. We scored six against Luton this season. I think, okay. Was it a 3-0, 3-1 or 3-2 or something? I can't even remember.
It's 3-2 away, definitely.
Yeah, I think how many have we got to go? Times. Well, you have beaten Dean Smith and is juggling six this time.
Tom, well done.
That was efficient.
Now to sack Dean Smith and put him in his misery one more time in his life. I mean, we do love you, Dino, if you somehow listen to this. Do you want to get the other two that would be technically part of this eight?
What do you mean, technically?
Well, they're in and around again.
What do you mean by in and around?
Five.
Like, they could be on five or six.
Right.
Okay. Right. Think about this. We scored... Oh, right, okay.
Oh, we put four past West Ham at home. So what was the...
One all away. So West Ham
all away.
Yep, we scored five against West Ham, of course. One more. And the final one, I'm actually shocked this wasn't brought up.
What are Everton scores this year?
No,
I'll give you a hint. Think of Steven Gerrard.
Fulham?
Yes, correct.
Oh, yeah, really? Say.
Yes, we scored five against Fulham this season.
I can't remember either game.
What was the score at Craven Cottage?
I don't have it up and available. I'm going to be completely honest, but
it is a long season, isn't it?
This is a really good illustration of how quickly the games have come this season. Yeah,
I feel like if we didn't have European games, so we beat them 3-1 in November. Was it November 12th? And then the other game, where are you? We beat them 2-1, February 17th
at Craven Cottage. Who scored?
Good question. I'm going to say, yeah, Ollie Watkins got both. And then when we beat them earlier in the season...
Who scored for them?
Let's see here. So, actually, this is interesting. So, the first game, of course...
Oh, I remember! Sorry, I remember. It's just come back to me.
God damn. Yes,
I remember.
McGinn scored on that one as well in the first one, and Watkins did too. So
I remember the away game now. Yes. Because wasn't it going to be a comfortable 2-0...
Correct.
Win and then we had a really shaky final 20.
Sounds like us. I remember the home one now because you said McGinn scored because he absolutely did João Paulinho on the edge of the box with like a dummy and then I remember that.
Do you guys want to guess who we haven't scored against this season? There's only one team.
Have we played them twice?
No, Liverpool.
Yeah, correct. Correct. Yeah. We haven't played them. That'll change next.
But we're about to change that. Yeah.
we're gonna score one goal.
They're gonna go into the list of eight.
Yep. Ollie Watkins is gonna score and get his 20th goal of the season, and then we'll be happy. Yeah. I freaking hope he does it at this rate. And I feel like I cursed him a few weeks back now because I had a feeling he wasn't going to. And now we're coming very close to that not happening. But come on, Ollie, get a hat trick in Europe and then get a hat trick against Liverpool, and then you can just take the Palace game off. I don't care what you do for the final game. But anyways, I think that is a good one to wrap this up. Again, no clue how long this one is, so if it has been extremely long, which this is the Holtcast, and welcome to it, so I'm sure it has been, but thank you all for listening. And like I said at the beginning, of course, wherever you're listening, subscribe, leave a positive review. It always makes it easier for other people to find us. Guys, is there anything else we should bring up before I just did part of an outro? Shaking heads.
Yes. Simon, when you're listening to this, I hope that your date went really well, and I can't wait to hear all about it.
Great. Well, I'm assuming he's on a date because he was sharing, again, this is stalkerish, but I just noticed on his Instagram story, he was sharing a girl thing when they're eating pizza or something. Whatever.
Please elaborate. Yeah.
But anyways, and aside from Simon's love life, we will leave it there. Thank you all for listening. Hopefully we should be back post Olympiacos. Of course, keep up to date with us, of course, on Twitter/X at HoltCastPod for info on that. But if not, of course, you'll hear from us on the following Monday to chat things Villa related, hopefully Villa happiness related. But anyways, yeah, thank you for listening. And we'll leave it there. This is a crap outro, but up the Villa.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.